Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 and get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply.
Hi, yo, Generinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 281. Gung Hei Fat Choi. This is going out to everyone celebrating the Lunar New Year, which is today. So happy Lunar New Year, happy Chinese New Year, or whatever you like to call it. Year of the Rabbit. It's going to be a hopping good year. I don't like rabbits, though, because I'm a fox. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox, one of your hosts here. Thanks for coming to the show. It's obviously going to be a fantastic episode and a fantastic year. We had the first UFC pay-per-view went down last night, and me, or I guess the proper grammar is my co-host, and I had pretty good picks for it. So you should probably get into it. Not good enough picks, though, for some people, of course. If you get anything wrong, some people will get upset at you, but good enough picks for our standards, especially for my co-host standards, because he's usually a big screw up. Let's bring him in now, that big screw up of his. He's the Gumby God, Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
No, it's a new year, so I'm not a big screw up in the new year.
True, you did amazing. You only lost a few bucks.
Yeah, well, yeah, in under our you have to bet $100 on every money line joking play, which people should know that that's a joke.
Total joke.
Yeah, we almost broke even doing that anyway. Yep. Even though there were some wild odds in some of these fights and stuff, we were just, you know, one fight away on that. So, and big dog, and he's burying the biggest, the biggest lead in here, is he hit a giant prop. Jeff Fox hit a giant prop, which never happens.
And I hope someone entered it in our contest, too, our prop contest, too. Hope someone picked that one.
It was. I haven't gone through all of them yet, but I'm pretty sure it was just you.
You sure? You sure it was me that entered that?
I'm pretty sure it was. You may
did
have
you check
used
the name though. I made sure it was me.
You may maybe used a humorous name in there. I'm not gonna read that humorous name.
No. Over the. It's been mentioned here before, but no, we don't need to do that. Fun. Fun event. The Discord was rocking last night. I got to watch a lot of it live, which was good. So I got to put in my stupid little comments on sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Everyone seemed to be having a good time. Dredney just totally killed it again with his pick.
Oh yeah, he had a 650 prop. Yes. Jelton Almeida in the second round.
Yes. Which that is like what he did the week before.
The week before was only plus 350 though.
Right.
Which is, you know, not just 350, but like, yeah, now he's way out front in our props contest for both the biggest prop and for the most money accumulated and the most props. People are going to have some work to do in these last 8 weeks to catch him.
Yes. No kidding. But yeah, it's, it was, lots of fun. Like I said, in the Discord, get in the Discord. Lots of chatting about the shenanigans that went down last night. Monument tonight, we had a couple of Brazilians quote unquote retire, and we'll see. And we had someone who's another Brazilian legend who's changing weight classes. Not the greatest night for Brazilian legends. It was a good night for Brazilians to start off, but then once we hit the legend portion of the card, it fell off a cliff.
Yeah, and actually even a little before that too. Although I guess some of those were Brazilian versus Brazilian fights.
So. Brazilian and Brazilian crime, Dan, the worst.
Yeah. Crime. So that was gonna go bad anyway.
Yep. All right, maybe I'll tell you about, before we dive into it, let me tell you about WynnBET. Don't want to forget about WynnBET. They keep us in your ear holes every week. WynnBET not every week, four times a week. How about WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same game parlays. And the NFL playoffs are here, if you haven't noticed already. That's why we're recording before Dan's beloved Cowboys try to make it through another round. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive your special offer. Bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And of course, if you hit, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. I hope Dredney is getting in here on WynnBET and making some real money, because he's a long shot parlay or prop guy right now. Yeah, I don't know. I guess he's not hitting parlays. This is probably why he's winning, because parlays you don't win on, except at WynnBET, of course. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right. UFC 283 last night in Rio de Janeiro, back to Brazil. They had 13,604 people in attendance. Don't have a gate number. They never released the gate info for the Brazilian cards for some reason. If you want to see fighter payouts and all that stuff, head to my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. And for people who enter the pick'em contest, hopefully I will get those numbers crunched and see who won that later on today, maybe even by the time you hear this. All right. As we do with the recaps, we start at the top and go to the bottom. Jamal Hill is the UFC light heavyweight champion. As I wrote in the Discord, it's such a silly and dumb and bad division, this light heavyweight division. Skinny fat guy beat a senior citizen for the belt last night. 50-44,
50-44, 50-44. Are you, so first of all, good on him for fixing a lot of his takedown defense issues. Because I said, you know, the reason I picked Glover in this fight is I didn't think Jamal Hill's takedown defense could hold up. And clearly he went into this fight worried about it and fixed a lot of that. So props to him for that. But he just kind of like doesn't feel like he's even in the top five of this division. Am I wrong?
All right. This name, who's better than him?
Yuri's way better than him.
Jan's better than him.
Who
Blachowicz, don't you?
Oh, Jan Blachowicz. Yeah.
Jan Blachowicz. Sorry. Not yeah, Peter, yeah. Piotr Jan. Maybe.
Yeah. When you were like, Jan, what a weird guy to throw. No, but yeah, Jan Blachowicz, I'd pick Magomed Ankalaev to beat the hell out of him.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm not positive about that one, but yeah, possibly.
But like,
the same level.
So that's like, three guys already who were like, they'd all beat the champ.
Gilton Almeida would beat the champ.
Yeah, but he's not coming. It seems like he's not coming back to 205. He seems pretty happy at heavyweight right now. But if something were to go awry at heavyweight for him, yeah, just cut the last, you know, 25 pounds and come beat up the champ down here. I don't know. He looked good doing what he did, but like it. Not good enough for me to be really convinced about him.
No, they won fight of the night, which I knew they would, but it wasn't a very good fight, really. I guess it was exciting, but it was just sloppy. And it's not like, it wasn't a high level fight, if you ask me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm having trouble articulating what I disliked about the fight so much. I think it's ultimately this, is that like, we already knew that if it stayed on the feet, he was probably better than Glover.
Yeah.
But like, he's being sold to us as this like big power puncher and couldn't put a 43-year-old man who's had 180 fights away.
Yep.
So like, I don't know, for me, that just like doesn't bode really well for what we're being sold as Jamal Hill's like biggest or best part of his game. So,
yep.
You know, like I see him, he is legitimately the champ, as much as you can legitimately be the champ in a division where the champion dropped the title, then they gave a fight for it and it went to a draw and they gave it to neither of those guys, and then you were the fifth option. So he's as much of a champ as you can be in a division that's done wacky things. But yeah, I don't know so much about him. I hope they give him the Jiří fight next so that we can re-crown Jiří the best fighter at 205.
Yeah, but how long is that going to be, though? How far off are we going to be waiting for that?
I don't know. He took right to Twitter right away and said that he was coming like a very bizarre video.
Imagine that.
Yeah, Jiří being weird. I think he's I think they overplayed the shoulder injury because the UFC didn't want to sell us on interim titles and wanted to sell us just, you know, I don't think they like the idea of calling it an interim title any more than we do. They'd rather just strip a champion and call it the actual one and then give the champion a title fight later. So I think they upplayed how hurt he is, and now he's probably closer to being ready in, like, you know, early summer than we realize.
You mean Dana White exaggerated something? Is that what you're
maybe
trying to tell
me? Maybe ever so slightly, yes.
It wasn't the worst injury ever they've ever seen.
It's not the worst shoulder injury that's ever any man has ever had before.
That's what the my whole world's been rocked here, Dan. Dana White's not an honest man, huh? All right, I had Hale minus 130, which was, you got to go with the younger, more powerful, more athletic, better striker against the old Yeller. But hey, a lot of people, I think story-wise, they wanted Glover to win, as did Dan, and it didn't happen. Tough. So I hit that one. Co-main event, we both hit this one. Brandon Moreno took care of Davison Figueiredo. TKO, doctor stoppage after a brutal punch, knuckle in the eye, knuckle eye sandwich. He gave him during the third round. He was dominating, he being Moreno. So clear win for him. They were saying on heavy hands that Figueiredo, they said that we've probably already seen the peak of him. And I think he's on the decline, and he kind of looked like it last night. He claims he's going to bantamweight now. I don't know. This is the classic end of your career, switch weight classes, see if it works out for you trick. But I think we may have already seen the best of him. These battles, I think, have weighed on him already.
I appreciate that his late career move is up a weight class. He could go down. Not that he could go down, but like that's the right move. But yeah, to your point, he's 35. You know, I think people are forgetting that, like, a flyweight largely does his best work when he's super fast, and as we age, we get slower. So he's clearly past like the peak speed, and that's what it looked like to me too, is that Brandon Moreno was just so much faster than him. And Brandon Moreno went in with a great game plan, as we said he would, now with Saif Saad in his corner. Like, you had to imagine you were going to see the very best version of him. And it was. He clearly is a deserved champion. He was going to win that fight if the doctor didn't stop it or not. I will say, did you see the scorecards?
No. Were they messed up?
Every judge gave Figueiredo the second round.
Yeah, that was pretty clear. 3-0, I think, was it not?
I thought it was 3-0. They must have thought that guillotine was deeper than it was, because like that's the round he went for the guillotine.
Yeah.
And I think they must have thought it was closer than it was, but like from the camera angles that you could see at home, like Moreno's head was always just about out of it. He was fighting the hands he was supposed to. Like, he jumped on it well and like went for it well, but it just wasn't in. So. Yeah, like, it's a weird one to score for him at the end of the day, because Moreno wound up with, like, top control time and throwing a little ground and pound, and he was winning on the feet anyway. And, like, yeah, so, I mean, I guess give him a round, but, man, it certainly didn't feel like he should have been that close.
Yep, it's true, but maybe Brazil's going to Brazil sometimes, right?
I guess so. They didn't mess us up on any of the fights otherwise. So,
they didn't.
You know,
they did.
Yeah, they seem to have gotten... I think almost all the decisions correctly. We'll talk about one that might be a little bit close.
Oh really? We're going to be a little salty, are we? Okay. So what's next for Brandon Moreno? Finally, he's through with this quadrology is the word. Actually, I looked it up and I included it in
tetralogy.
Tetralogy is another way you can say it. Yes.
Yeah. I think it's Pantoja. It's got to be Pantoja. They've got beef in the past. Pantoja's got a real claim to being the number one contender. Apparently they had some sort of dust up backstage.
What's with Brandon Moreno? He's Mr. Attitude now, eh?
I don't think he's Mr. Attitude. I think he probably started really respectable and then Pantoja was trying to spark something up. That's my guess. Like, you don't run into somebody who just won a fight backstage and, like, you know, get in their face or anything like that.
Oh, it was last night after the fights you're talking
about. Yeah, it was last night. So, I'm assuming that's what went down. So,
yeah, okay. All right, yeah, do it. I like Pantoja. Let's get her done. Gilbert Burns got her done. Did not take him very long, 4:15 in the first round, to get her done against Neil Magny. Sadly for Dan, this was not a decision as he had predicted or hoped it would be for his was it your prop? Yeah, your prop.
Yeah, right. My prop play was this one goes to decision. And I think it's because Gilbert Burns has a clear agenda that he's out to look like an absolute murderer again.
Yeah. And he was screaming in the camera like a murderer.
Yeah, like he wanted to go out there and make a statement, and he did. So like it's a completely different game plan. He was a little bit riskier than I thought he was going to be. Even with like some of his positioning, he got like a little bit greedy, you know, jumping for it and stuff like that. But like he did everything he was supposed to do. Yep. Went in there, got a quick finish. You know, props to him. I hope he gets that Colby Covington fight, but like, Is it me or it's funny because you keep hearing these welterweights call out Colby Covington because they know he's like, you know, one of the top guys in the division. And he seems to be like, you know, nothing but like jabs and a couple of takedowns. So he seems like a safer opponent to fight than, you know, the Leon Edwards is in the world. But like, does it seem like he never wants to fight? Like who?
Yeah,
I haven't even really heard other than, you know, some people fantasy matchmaking for him. I've never even heard like whispers that he's got a fight in the making. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like we heard some people be like, oh, I think Khamzat's going to get that fight next. But like, you know, Khamzat was over in Russia and it was from no sort of reliable source that fight was going to happen. So like, is Colby interested in fighting anymore now that his like path to the title is murky?
Doesn't really seem like it, does it? He was a tough one to get in the cage to begin with over the past few years. Yeah. It seems to be only getting worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. So if Gilbert Burns doesn't get that fight, I mean, like we're really running on like tough names for him to get another one in there. Right. Because,
yeah,
you know, especially if Khamzat moves up and they don't want to run that one back, because I'd be fine with running that one back. I don't like rematches that quick, but like, hey, it was a good first fight and decent again. It doesn't feel like Burns is going to get a Bilal Muhammad fight, does it? I mean, maybe. He's already beaten Stephen Thompson. You know, you don't want him to go too far down the rankings to like the Sean Brady's and I mean maybe Shavkat, but like, does he want to fight number 10 in the world who's a super dangerous dude? Probably not. It's just a weird spot for Gilbert Burns to be in.
Yep. Well, we find that often. People get big wins and then they get themselves stuck in a rough spot. But Jessica Andrade, she's another one. You could probably argue could be in a tough spot. She just keeps on winning, except when she's fighting the champion. She put a hellacious beating on Lauren Murphy last night, 30-25, 30-25, 30-26. I guess you were included, speaking in the Discord about 10 and 7 rounds, perhaps, because Andrade really put a whooping on Murphy, as we predicted. We predicted the Burns one right as well, but we got -460 for that. We only got -510 for Andrade. I guess Andrade via decision would have been the play if you wanted to make a play here, because it was pretty clear that that Murphy wasn't going to get finished, and she did not.
Well, I'm not sure how, although no, you're right. Maybe it was pretty clear that she wasn't going to get finished, because even the hardest shit that hit her never looked like it rocked her. Like she looked like she was being overwhelmed by being hit in the face too many times in a row, but like, but not in the way that she was like wobbly, just in the way that like she was looking to reset and like find her bearings so that she could launch some offense. And she just like, she didn't have an opportunity to reset a lot of times. And I think the ref almost stopped it in a couple of cases, but he realized like she ain't hurt, which is, man, dude, what a wild sentence to say, because she took some brutal shots and she was just like, fine.
Yeah, she didn't even get dropped, did she?
Or did, no, I don't think she did. Not that I remember. And if it was, she didn't look like wobble. Yeah, it was like a slip or something like that. And maybe I'm not remembering it, but like,
yeah, I don't think she did though.
I don't think she went down. And it was crazy because she took like Jessica Andrade's best shots, which like not a lot of women in the whole world can do. So, and apparently Andrade is talking about going back to strawweight now. I don't.
That's wild. Her like wild.
Especially because she, first of all, she hits so hard at this weight class. And second of all, it seems like she just got a big signature win. And now we're talking about her like leaving the division and looking for a title shot. That, I mean, like weirdness.
Are they going to give her a Valentina Shevchenko? That's the thing.
Probably not. She just got booked with Alexa Grasso.
Yeah, I guess so. You could wait and hope Grasso somehow beats her.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. But also then you've got to outpace Manon Fiorot coming back from a knee surgery. And
yeah, that's true.
And which maybe this is why she's going to strawweight, is because there's like people up there at flyweight.
Yep.
So she's going to have to worry. But not to mention, if Valentina gets beat by Grasso, which I don't think she's going to, they're just going to run that back. She just gets a rematch. So, yeah, maybe she's making the right move, moving to strawweight. I don't know.
Yeah. Hard to say. So we hit that. And what else? Oh, we hit the opener. Sadly, Dan, you picked against two of your favorites, and they both lost for you. Lauren Murphy lost, Paul Craig lost. He got TKO'd by Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker, this is how it should have gone, and it went the way it should have gone, which is strange. Maybe this is going to be the new Johnny Walker. 216 into the first round. He knocked out the grappler, who was desperately trying to take him down, and he hammer-fisted his face until he was no longer able to try to take him down.
Yeah, Johnny Walker back to looking normal.
Yes.
It's weird because like everybody wrote him off after moving to SBG. And I think they were like, you know, everybody's looking for a reason to discount John Kavanaugh anyway. But like he looked bad his first couple of fights there. And everybody was like, did he break Johnny Walker? I think it was just like Johnny Walker was learning new things and was like, oh, I have to use all of them and only them. And I think now Kavanaugh has gotten a sense of who Johnny Walker is and figured out how to use his chaos with skills. Because the other thing I think, you know, you somewhat overlook in a fight that was only, you know, 136 seconds long, he did really good at establishing and keeping good range, so that shot from Paul Craig did look like a desperation shot because he felt like he was so far away, which hasn't always been the case with Johnny Walker. Like if you go back to when he was like in the Brazilian regionals, like he'd get right up in somebody's face, despite the fact that he doesn't need to, cause he's really big. So maybe Kavanaugh is actually working out for him. Cause I could see him after a performance like that, getting another big fight and running him up this division.
Yeah. It's light heavyweight first of all. And he's, a popular guy, so for sure.
Let me ask you a real question, and this is, you know, obviously
usually they're fake. This is real this time.
Yeah, they're usually fake questions, but if you ran back Jamal Hill versus Paul or against Johnny Walker right now, would you necessarily take Jamal Hill?
No, the belt means nothing. It's a prop.
But I know Jamal Hill won the first one with that like comical knockout. But like, no. I don't know now.
They're same level, basically.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily that I'd be like running to the bank for like Jamal Hill -200 on that fight.
No.
I might take a stab at Johnny Walker at 2-1.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's the thing. They're, like I said, same level, more or less. One of them just happens to have the belt. That's all. All right, so that's the main card. I hit all five. Wow, I didn't realize that. What a great end to the night. Dan hit 4 out of 5, so not bad for him either. You were on a nice little string here. I don't know why I picked Mauricio. I had a hard time like even justifying it when it's because I didn't write my article first and really thought about it. I just blurted it out on the air, but yeah. He looked old and he got taken care of by a younger fighter, 4 or 5 into the first round. Ior Pateria. TKO punches.
Did you tell me earlier in the show? I'm just recalling a line where you said,
Yeah, exactly.
You can't take the old guy against the much younger.
Yeah, that's why I say I have no idea why I did this. I really don't. I said it, and then I'm like, well, Dan doesn't let me take things back, so I'm gonna have to double down on it. So
he looked his age. I mean, like that's really all there is to say. Is like he's not fast enough anymore to do this. So it's good that this is probably gonna be his last one.
Yep. He retired. Glover retired. Davison says he's moving up a weight class. So that's the Brazilian legends that had had their issues last night. Things didn't go quite their way. Things didn't go Hobo Cop's way either. We did not see this coming. Well, you mentioned how Ferreira, however you want to say it, hits very hard. And Rodriguez decided to stand in front of him and get him. He got knocked out by a jab, though, which is not a good sign. 4-13 in the first round. But yeah, Ferreira hits like a truck. And I don't know, Hobo Cop. I don't know, man.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say for that.
Yeah, it's starting to look not so great for him, because really when you go back and you look at some of his wins too, like they're not always the best looking in retrospect, right? Like
he always gets beat up.
Yeah, in the, you know, if you look at the Chidi Njikawani win, he was getting brutalized in that one until Chidi just ran out of gas.
Yeah.
He couldn't really outbox Armen Petrosian, although I think he might have won that fight and lost it on a split decision. He does have a KO loss to Jordan Williams, who we find a way to mention in every single episode. Yeah. So yeah, maybe, man, dude, like he looks so good sometimes, but like when you look back at his record, you're like, is there something here that I loved once? And I'm not sure there is, you know, that's the tough part with RoboCop. So, or HoboCop. So still a patron saint of the podcast, maybe have to reevaluate what we think of him though.
Yeah. What do we think about Bruno at this point? Anything?
I mean, I think he's a big power puncher.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all
that's
I think
what we
about.
Headed into it. Yeah. Anyhow, so, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that's how I handicapped him coming off of the Contender Series. It's just like, he hits really fucking hard. He knocked out Leona Liu on the Contender Series. And like, that's pretty much all you need to know. He hits hard.
Yep. Diego Moises, who I was in on, beat Melky Costa. Submission face crank, 405 in the second round. Costa looked game. Took this on short notice. You don't go against the stats and pick someone short notice debut, but Dan did at a big plus 310. He whiffed, but that's okay. Costa looked all right. And I had Moises at minus 380.
Yeah, I think Costa looked good considering that 3-1 price on him. Like I said, I thought he could hang on the feet with Moises, and I think he did mostly. He just had a little bit tougher a time staying on his feet than I thought he would. So yep. Looking forward to seeing him again, though. He'll definitely make some noise and pick up some wins in the UFC.
Yep. And then in the opener of the prelims, Gabriel Bonfim. 49 seconds is all it took for him to snatch a guillotine on Munir Laziz and tap him out. We're big on Bonfim, and he definitely came through minus 180 for us.
Yeah, looked incredible. I should have put him as my lock. We even talked about it. I talked about switching him to the lock and wound up sticking with Terrence McKinney, who we'll talk about in a little bit.
McKinney's line was just too juicy, I think.
Yeah, I think I got tempted by looking like a hot shot with like a line on a lock that's a little bit closer. I should have just stuck with the negative 180 and been happy with Bonfim.
Yep. We were definitely happy with his performance. He came through. And then in the early prelim, so did Jelton Almeida. No surprise. He came through. My prop bet came through. TKO punches. Second round, luckily for Dredney. 2-6 in the second round. The thing I was a little annoyed about, Jelton didn't seem like he just wanted to grapple. Didn't want to punch. Like even he wants to punch even less than Damian Maia wanted to punch. Seemed like he was just interested in getting a submission. Then he finally gave in and decided to punch the guy. But because there's a lot of opportunities where you could have just unloaded and finished the fight, it seemed to me.
Yeah. Well, and it's like I said, I think I said it on the show on Wednesday is he's a guy who I think takes a lot of pride in his submission offense.
Yeah.
Cause we saw that when, in one of his last fights too, I'm trying to remember who it was. He beat the hell out of, probably on short notice. Oh, it was the Turkali, Anton Turkali fight. When he was fighting Anton Turkali, he like took him down and very clearly had him like flattened out and could have just thrown punches and ended the fight. And I had the TKO prop that day too. I remember it was like plus 400 or something like that. And I was like, just throw punches. And he like kept working for the submission, and then he got the submission. So I think he was doing the same thing here. And eventually he was just like, ah, screw this. Like, I think he goes in with the plan to get the submissions.
Yep. He's all about position and submission, everything. All right. So why was Shamil ranked 15th heading into this fight, Dan? He lost three straight fights. He hadn't won since 2019. Why do you people have him ranked?
I don't and didn't.
You people do.
Yeah, the ranking panel does. I will say this, though, about him still being ranked, because I've actually answered this question from somebody else who was like, what the hell is he doing still ranked? What are you guys doing? He does before those four straight losses. And granted, look at those four straight losses. Curtis Blaydes, Chris Dawkins, Sergey Pavlovich, and Jelton Almeida. Like, that is a damn hard resume. Before that, he knocked out Marcin Tybura, beat Arlovsky, and knocked out, you know, everybody's favorite Chase Sherman. So like, it's not like this guy was fighting cupcakes. Like, he's been fighting good fighters and has a win over a couple of guys, including a ranked dude in Tybura. So I think he was probably hanging on just from people who wouldn't drop him below Tybura, having beat him recently. But I think now, after four in a row, I think you'll see most everybody just, like, letting him fall.
All right. More importantly, what are we doing with their boy Gelatin next?
I mean, he should just get a top fight at the heavyweight division. If they're insisting on keeping him at heavyweight, which they seem hell-bent on doing, like, they're just going to keep him at heavyweight, it's time for him to fight
John Jones.
I mean, like, I would dude, if one of those two guys falls out of that fight, book him. Like, I'm fine with that. Like, I think 100% he could fight anybody in that division. But, like, in all honesty, it's probably time for him to fight Tai Tuivasa.
Yeah, he'd handle him no problem.
Yeah, Alexander Volkov would be a good fight for him. I feel almost mean saying it, but, like, you could run him against Chris Daukaus.
Yeah.
It seems downright criminal, doesn't it?
Do you see anyone beating him, though, at this point?
No, of course not. I would pick him, and I think I said this on the show too, I would pick him to beat Surreal Game right now. Like, and I'm very sure about that. I would pick him to beat Surreal Gain. We've seen issues with Gain's takedown defense. We saw Nagano take him down a bunch of times. We know what he looks like on the feet, where he's dangerous, but not like, you know, a menacing puncher like Ngannou was. You know, like, he can knock you out, but, like, he knocked out Tai Tuivasa with, like, 78 straight punches to the dome rather than a big, you know, one hitter quitter. I would take Gelatin to beat that guy.
Yep. He hasn't really shown any holes yet. So, and if that was the 15th ranked guy he just took care of last night, then yeah, he should be able to handle anyone, basically. Lewin Lacerda, he looked decent enough for my plus 290 stab in the dark here, but Cody Stamann ended up winning the fight 29-28 across the board, and Dan was on the right side of this one.
Yeah, I mean, like, he did look better than I thought he would, for sure. Like,
His striking was not bad at all.
Nope. It held up. It was way better than I thought it was. His takedowns were better than I thought they'd be. So yeah, props to him on that.
What else do we have here? Nicholas Dalby, maybe controversial split decision. Not really controversial. It was a close fight, obviously. 29-28, 29-28, 29-28 over Warley Olivas. I'm fine with the pick here, even though we lost. I'm fine with the judge's decision here. It was basically a pick 'em on the board, so it was going to be a close fight to begin with, and it was.
Yeah, I thought Alves looked good in that second round. I do think maybe I was looking at it with rosy-colored glasses. I might have to go back and rewatch it and, like, remind myself that Dalby probably won that second. Alves definitely won the third. So, like, you know, it was close, but maybe... maybe I don't want to side with Derek Cleary.
Yeah, most people picked Dalby. I saw on MMA Decisions this morning, so I guess it was right pick. Oh, I skipped over Ismael Bonfim. He came through. He came through, first of all, the older brother of the Bonfims, the lesser of the two, I like to call him. He was not lesser last night. Flying knee over Terrence McKinney after knocking out his mouth guard. 217 into the second round. We whiffed on this one.
Yeah, we did. But I will say... you know, like, big KO like that sometimes is not the greatest indicator of skill. But I will say he looked better before that, too. Like, Terrence McKinney did not look good at all.
Nope.
He looked slow. He looked like he wasn't sure. Like, I think Bonfim hit him and the power scared him.
Yep. Very well could have been the case for sure. So we missed that. We missed the Dobby one. We got Josian Nunes barely. This was closer than we thought it would be over Zarafer and Dos Santos. 29-28 across the board. An amazing size discrepancy. David versus Goliath type of thing. But Josian Nunes squeaked out a victory at minus 570. Should not have been as close as it was.
Yeah. Farron looked all right in the striking.
Yeah. She gets tired.
Yeah. I would say she didn't look bad.
And then she just stops doing anything except getting hit in the face.
And she did definitely get hit in the face a couple of times.
Yeah. And then the opener, we started the night off right with a plus 130 dog. Daniel Marcos looked fantastic against Simon Oliveira. Oliveira did not look fantastic. Maybe cut in time for him. That's two straight losses for him. He's not looked good since entering the UFC. just tries to do spinning moves the whole time, and it doesn't work. He got knocked out, knee to the body, and punches. His body was getting wrecked by Marcos. Marcos looked fantastic. It took him two rounds, 218 into the second round for it to hit for us.
Yeah, I mean, he looked excellent. I can't say enough how good he looked in that fight. So, the striking's there. The spacing's there. The pace is there. Like, this dude could do some things in this division. Because, like, it seems like now that he's got a more complete camp around him. Because we talked about before he had that three-year layoff, you saw him on the Peruvian scene. It looked like he had some pieces, but he wasn't great. Now that he's got a real team around him, he is putting together quite a resume. So props to him on that one.
Yeah, he can crack for a bantamweight. So definitely someone to keep an eye on. So that is the night. Our winners of the awards, 50K bonus, Hill versus Teixeira was fight of the night. Performance of the night, Ismael Bonfim and Jilton Almeida. Dan and I both went 10-5 with their picks. So very good night for us. I lost 744 based off $100 in every fight. Dan lost 37.85. So on the year, I'm at 62%. You're at 58%. We are both down money still on the $100 in every fight bets. As for our locks, we both whiffed on McKinney. We both hit on Marcos as a dog. Gumby whiffed on Burns Magny, going to decision for his prop bet. I hit Jilton TKO at plus 250. So overall lock dog props. I am beating Gumby, of course. I am up $108. He's down 32. But
there's still time.
There you go.
No, and we're not doing $100 a piece on there. We're just saying,
aren't we, Dan?
I don't think so. That
I'm sure you agreed to it when we started. You said we were doing that.
You were looking for a monetary amount, and I was like, no, we can just say that we do the lock dog prop. Yeah, we don't have to put monetary on that, but we are all 1-1 on our locks, on our dogs, and on our props, which I have in my little spreadsheet here. Although your prop hit was a little bit bigger than mine.
Yes. I'm ahead, Dan. Come on. Enough of you changing the rules after the fight.
All right. So let's make it $7,000 on every fight.
All right.
And make sure that, it has to be a plus 800 parlay or better.
That sounds like your contest now.
16 legs, minimum.
Now we have to take a week off. The UFC is taking a week off. I guess they got to get the Octagon back over to Vegas, but this is the one that's starting at a wonky time, right? Even though it's in Vegas, they're still doing it on Asian time, I believe, right?
My understanding is that the prelims will start at 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Right, and the main card's 1 or something like that. That would be 2 Saturdays from now. I'll run through the fight card quickly before we get out of here. Derek Lewis versus Sergey Spivak. They're trying to get this one actually into the cage this time. Dan Jung versus Devin Clark. Marcin Tybura, just spoke of him, versus Blagoy Ivanov. They have all the names on Wikipedia all over the place. Duhu Choi is what we call him usually. The Korean Superboy is back versus Kyle Nelson. Yasuki Kinoshita versus Adam Fugit About It is the main card. And then the prelims, we've got the four finals. I'm not even going to bother with the names. Sorry. Not that I disrespect you, but we got the four finals to the road to the UFC events. So we got the finals for those. And then we got Kim Yeon Jian, Ji Yeon Kim. That's how we say it, right? She's got a good
Wikipedia
nickname.
Wikipedia is messing you up bad.
Yeah, they are. Ji Yeon Kim, her nickname is something good, like Fire Fist.
Fire Fist
versus Mandy Baum. Jun Young Park versus Dennis Tui Lui Lin. And then Tatsura Taira versus Jesus Santos Aguilera. What do you think of this card, Dan?
I can't believe you gave a shout out to the nickname Fire Fist and not the Iron Turtle. That's just
The Iron Turtle's on the card too. You're right. Jun Young Park, the Iron Turtle.
Yes. Baffling. It's not a great card. If it stayed in Korea, we'd be like, oh, they did a good job of getting all the Korean guys on there and gals. This is good, you know, good for local Koreans who get to see all of their favorite fighters and also like big heavyweight smashing in the main event. But like, I'm actually really excited for the road to UFC finals. I think there's some really great matchups there. There's a couple of people who I'm super pumped to see fight. Rinya Nakamura is just, I think he's a real prospect. So I'm excited to see him fight and probably punch his ticket to being a permanent staple in the always exciting bantamweight division. So it's got intrigue on it, but for a casual who is going to have to watch the main card at 1 a.m., this might be the one you skip.
Yeah, very well could be the one you skip, but we don't have any casuals listening to this. Everyone is a hardcore, so, but it will be good for the local Koreans that live in Enterprise, Nevada, right?
And that's right.
Just the local Koreans who live.
Well, and also if you're a West Coast person,
yeah,
just basically getting the fight card on East Coast time.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it starts at 7 p.m. That's when we sometimes watch fights on the East Coast. Like last night was 5:30, but sometimes they're a little later. So like, it's not going to be awful for West Coasters, except for they're not used to it. But like, for the East Coast, this is going to suck.
Yep, indeed. All right. So that is that. We'll put this episode to bed because we're back tomorrow with our classic expected Monday non-UFC episode. And we're going to have a few more non-UFC episodes next week as well, apparently. Told you about Discord, Twitter, SGPN MMA, if that's your jam. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. He is at Gumby Vreeland. I told you about my Substack. All our stuff is on all our sports writing and all our podcasts and all our giveaways and all our deals to casinos and whatnot are at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So make sure you hit that. And Gumby hosts the Top Turtle MMA podcast, which will be dropping later on this week. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, episode 282. We're going to break down some PFL for you. Until then, I will remain Mr. Wonderful, Jeff Fox. He will be Locomotivo, Daniel Vreeland. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.